So we're going to continue our conversation about sales, sales, and more sales. Welcome back to our podcast, The Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. My name's Keith D. Glad you were joining us. If you missed part one of this podcast, we talked a lot of drilling down on the sales process. I encourage you to go back and listen to it. We're very excited to bring back Jeff Clare, Clairvoyant Consulting. Jeff,
great to be here again.
You're a busy guy. You got a lot going on. I really appreciate you coming back. And, you know, last episode we talked about the various processes, measurement tools, the deep dive in what goes behind that sale, right? That is critical to buyers understanding the analytics they do on this. They just test it all the way through until they close about sales, your pipeline, your backlog, and how you monitor and measure it. You have worked in the industry for many, many years. It would be great to talk about, you know, some real life examples or clients, you know, that you worked with that, you know, what made them pick up the phone to call you and say, I need help. I got a problem. And you went in there and kind of walked through what the issues were and how you helped them rectify them and get them back on the right path.
Yeah, happy to do so. So yeah, I'll a client in particular. So this client is part of a peer-to-peer organization, which in my case is a tremendous place to be because it's an owner that has already told himself, I don't know everything and I don't have all the answers. So already had the right mindset. And a connection that came from this chair brought the two of us together. And this is a situation, a successful company in professional services, financial services, been around for 20 years. All their business had really grown by word of mouth. Just, it was great. They had almost no outbound sales. But again, as I said in the last episode, what got them to where they were was not getting them to where they're going. And they had much larger, more ambitious plans to take this business forward. So to do so, the owner said, we've got to develop an outbound sales. We have to figure a way of doing it. So when I was brought in, he had a very young sales organization, very mature, had not been in sales really before. So I really started putting the pieces together, developing an initial sales strategy, spending a lot of time documenting a sales process. And with that sales process was also building out a CRM or a customer relationship management tool.
Which is critical in today's marketplace.
It's really critical. And today we do some surveys. Over 53% of the companies that we've done business with don't have it.
I can relate to that. I mean, we have a number of clients we deal with and we ask, you know, how do you manage your pipeline? Your and they're like on an Excel spreadsheet or through Outlook or something along those lines. And each individual salesperson kind of manages it and reports back to me.
Right.
And I have a cup of coffee with them every day for 15 minutes, talk about sales, right? So the tools.
Their tools. And let me go into this for 1 second because they have it on an individual Excel spreadsheet. And here's where the real issue that comes with a CRM is that ownership of that client is the salesperson's.
Right.
And in many ways, the owner, and they did it to themselves, they feel they're hostage. They may have a salesperson that, quite frankly, isn't someone that's great for the company, but they're held hostage because that relationship is developed and owned by that salesperson. A CRM system allows for the company to own that relationship because all the conversations, all the emails, all of the negotiations, everything, if it's done right, is in that CRM system. So if that person leaves for another job, goes to a different place in the company, that information is there and shared by everyone within the company, which is a huge, huge point.
Right. And in today's world, I mean, this tool right here, you know, our CRM system, I have the app as well.
Mm-hmm.
I can tap the app anytime I want. I know exactly what's going on with the current deal we're working on.
Right.
Who's looking at it, how many books we have out, who passed on it, you know, what the current activity, who opened it up and is still looking at it. I mean, it gives me as the owner of a business a tool that I can see some measurement from.
Right.
Right. And I think it comes down to a lot of that is like, so back to your client here,
So we come back to the client. So a CRM system, they had used one, but it was in many companies kind of inactive. It wasn't fully set up properly. So guess what? It was complicated. It was difficult. Nobody used it.
Right.
So got back in, kind of lifted the hood, brought in an implementation expert to help us set it up the way we needed to, and really put key performance indicators for the sales team in place. Mm-hmm. Like how many calls a day or a week are you going to have? How many meetings? And a full stage system, and having both weekly sales meetings with the sales team and individual sales meeting with the individuals helped a lot.
So you were setting up goals.
Setting up goals.
Right. And so now you have this, you know, back, like you said, everybody gets salesperson comes in, they sell you a CRM system. Mm-hmm. They're very robust.
Very much so.
And setting them up is not something that you can do easily internally unless you have, you usually assign it to somebody in your team. Mm-hmm. That's not usually right. CRM in the past.
Right.
It worked to get it set up where bringing in someone like yourself who will bring in resources.
Exactly.
Investing in the upfront of that CRM system is going to help you long term.
It really will.
So you got the CRM system set up. Now you got measurement tools. You got key performance indicators
and reports
and reporting mechanisms,
and dashboards.
And so everybody says like a sale's a sale. It's not a sale.
Right.
It's everything that goes to get to that point.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
So measurement. So you got the dashboards.
We got all that, and then we're trying to put together, you know, the really important metrics like how many initial leads, does it take? Do you have to hit the new business you want to bring in? And that's always a difficult process, and it's a moving target, but it's so important so a salesperson knows, okay, I've got to reach out to 100 new opportunities to close one deal,
right,
to make money. So we track through that process. And look, the business didn't come around immediately, but over the course of a year, by having structured meetings in place with an agenda that the salesperson knew what they needed to bring to it, by having one-on-one meetings separately, by integrating the goals of the company into what the goals of the sales team are together, after about the first 9 months, things really started to track well. So when the new fiscal year rolled over, this sales team in 3 months did more business than they did in the first 12 months as I came into it.
So what I'm hearing here is, right, is like one is accountability.
Very much.
Accountability. Right? And two is culture. Because if the ownership, whether it be a family business or a big corporation, whatever, doesn't communicate the goals and objectives and what we're looking for and what we're trying to create here as a team back down to the people, they're going to interpret the way they want to interpret it.
Every which way, correct.
Right? And they're not going to have a common theme. So, and you're coming in here and you're, by making them accountable on one side that, look, you need to do this or, you know, there could be some changes. And then on the ownership side saying, hey, this is what we're trying to do, right? This is where we ought to be. This is important to us, all of us, collectively.
Collectively.
Because no business owner can do it all on his or herself, right? And everyone that we deal with has in their heart, in their head is like a deep appreciation for their employee base.
Mm-hmm.
They may not communicate it well, but they do, right? Because they know they're not there without these people, right? They know. But so communicating that strategy, communicating that goals is somewhere where you kind of like, so you're taking this whole holistic approach to a business behind the scenes to get to that sales, and all of a sudden it turns. So 9 months later, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got them going, they're back, and you kind of go in occasionally and continually to monitor.
Well, here's what's great about what I do to that point is when I went in and I started working with the client, I said, you know, my goal is, believe it or not, you know, I'm coming in here to work myself out of a job with you.
Exactly.
I'm here fractionally. So one of the key components was to bring in a full-time sales leader in position once all the pieces were put together.
Right.
They can now operate and really take it to the next level because they needed someone now more than an occasional day or so a week. They need it now. It's full-time operation. We've got new sales teams running and it's off and going. And my clients are always clients for life. I'm always staying in touch with them. There's times there's further advice that's done. I've gotten to know their business so well over time. And I've been very fortunate that the owners that I've worked with are really terrific people and they've got great hearts and they do consider their employees families to a great degree. Sometimes to a fault where they really need to make a change and they're reluctant to do so because they have such feelings for the people that they work with.
Yeah, letting as family business, you know, try when someone's not or say underperforming, right? And they've been with you a number of years, and there's reasons, right? I mean, it's not just lack of work; it's like their personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the office. I mean, going through unfortunate health issue, you know, going through a divorce, whatever. Owners know, they know these people individually.
They do.
They see them every morning over the coffee or whatever. And so to your point is like, you know, so-and-so is underperforming over here, but you know, his son was diagnosed with some whatever and I got to give him some slack.
Right.
So all of a sudden you see, but it affects.
It does affect.
So, you know, how do you balance that kind of stuff? I mean, it's not easy.
It is not easy. And that's where accountability comes into play. If it's done properly, the person is also, they understand that they're not performing. I mean, it's no secret to themselves. And in many cases, they will see themselves to a new future that they because they know it's just not there. And
right.
That's hopefully where it goes. In other cases, you really work to coach them to either a new place in the company that's more in line with their skill set and what they're doing, or to find another home that's going to be
beneficial. You give them that long leash. I think you're probably like I value just because you're in sales doesn't mean you can't be great in customer service,
right?
Or you know, or operations or something. So I've seen that a lot where people are, you know, it's nice to have cross training and cross talent, but as people move throughout the organization,
they
give them parts of the life cycle.
They
because,
do.
You know, family companies. It's their second home. You know, nothing gets the employee base more nervous than when the owner's looking to sell, and they feel like they're going to be orphaned. You know, it raises a lot of questions.
Right?
What's going to happen to me? First off, are we staying here? Why are you going away? Right? I mean, it raises all kinds of questions. But employees are also smart, right down to you know whoever's sleeping the floors. They see the owners. Are aging and they say this is not going to be sustainable because at some point in time it's going to end. So you know, to your point, it's interesting that you know, you really take an approach here that you're delving not just into the sales, but individually how that's working. And to your point, the best outcome is for you basically is to work your way out of a job.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
If you're still there and doing your thing,
right.
Something's not right.
Exactly.
And same for me too. I mean, nothing gives me more satisfaction than you know working myself out of a job, because we sold the company on our client's success, you know, on their terms, the right fit, the right buyer,
yeah,
right, and then all of a sudden we're done, and it's kind of like one of the things I don't like about the business because you're the same way, you become so entwined in with the owner of the company, not just in the business, but also the personalities, the personal mm-hmm. life, it just falls into it.
It does.
And then all of a sudden it's done, right? So I'm like you, I try to stay in touch.
Yeah.
I try to call clients on the anniversary when we sold the business. Hey, how are you doing? What's going on? What have you been up to? Whatnot, right? Those type of things.
It's why we do what we do.
Right? So, you know, just in general, you know, how do you go just... you know, I think assessing talent, right? Good people, hire good people and they'll do the job. You can train them to do the job.
Yeah.
Right? Not hire, some guy comes out of a big organization that's, you know, a public company with, you know, 2,000 employees, great track record, comes into a family business with 50. I mean, a whole different culture. I mean, how do you do that assessment piece? Because well, I think that's really critical.
That is, and there's both the assessment of the team that's in place and the assessment as you're bringing people in.
Right.
So in sales, my philosophy is it's 80% mindset and 20% skill set. I can train the skills, but if the mindset is not right for the role coming in, and sales is not just sales, there's different types of sales, and there's a different mindset that people are good at. Some people are very good about relationship selling. And in those cases, that's for the most part what we would consider a farmer. They've got intact larger clients and they're developing and building that relationship. Then the other side, which is much more of what I call the unicorn, is the hunter. This one really loves the hunt, gets that new business, is not so intrigued about staying around and nurturing them for the long haul. They want to go for that next kill, so to speak.
Right, right.
Different mindset, different skill set, and you have to really take a look at that. Now, I've told this to other people, if I'm going in for brain surgery, I'm not looking for 80% mindset and 20% skill set. I want huge skills.
Right.
Because that takes years to develop. In sales, that mindset is so important. The product you can train for, but I can't train so much that inquisitive desire. And for me, curiosity is the number one ingredient I look for in a good salesperson. They have to be curious people. Because then you're going to be wanting to go out and see that next opportunity, talk to that next person.
Yeah, if I go to this meeting over here, maybe I'll meet somebody at this trade show or somebody that can lead me to Absolutely. Somebody else. It's calculation, right? Kind of working through that set. So, yeah, you know, it's interesting that the mindset is critical, because if sales was easy, we'd all be doing it,
right?
But there's a great percentage of the population in business, in your organization, has no desire,
right.
No interest, does not want to be. You are the face front of your business, right. No matter who you are, right? So to your point, I can see that mindset is critical, because sales is not easy. Sales is very hard. You know, people think, you know, you and I, networking, you know, my whole career, you know, out 3-4 mornings a week, lunches, dinners, events, this mm-hmm. and that, bringing people to golfing, whatever, right? It's a constant push to develop relationship where people gain trust.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, it comes down to trust. I want to do business with this person, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Sales is not easy.
It's not. And it's not one personality either, which some people find hard to believe, that introverted people can be very good salespeople. Now, they may have to turn on, and it may be taxing to them at times to be extroverted when they need to, but sometimes really introverted people are great listeners. And in sales, being a good listener is far more important than being a great talker.
That's a great point. So a lot goes into sales, and Jeff Clare, Clairvoyant Consulting, really appreciate you coming back. This has been terrific. Look forward to maybe bringing you back for a future episode on ins and outs of selling a business, and talk about some new things you got going on and how you've helped clients and customers.
Terrific.
Well, thank you,
Keith,
again.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jeff. Again, my name's Keith D. I'm president of Osage Advisors. Thanks for being here today for our podcast, Ins and Outs of Selling a Business. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please feel free to subscribe at our YouTube channel. Any questions, you can give me a call at 860-767-3273, extension 1001, or shoot me an email at kdee@osageadvisors.com. To learn more about Osage and how we help business owners sell their companies, you could also visit our website at osageadvisors.com. Thanks again for being here, and have a great day.